Sure. Thank you. Well, good morning. What beautiful weather out there. How much rain did you get, Nick?
Just enough.
Yeah, I was in a field disking, and I was supposed to go from County Road 20 over to Waterloo, and I seen that storm coming, and Tammy said, "It's coming." I thought, well, I'll just do a few more laps around this field before I head all the way to Waterloo. And my brother-in-law called me. He goes, "Did you make it to Waterloo?" I said, "Nope." He goes, "Good." You fear I'll be driving back in the rain. But it's nice to have this beautiful weather, this warm weather. But I'm glad we don't live too much farther south because I don't like the hot. I like the nice weather, the sun, but I got some friends that are down in Texas, and they showed me like their calendar, and they are in the hundreds of degrees for months on end now, and I'm like, boy, I wouldn't want to be in 100 degree weather for the next 3 months. But I'm glad we live where we live. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for this bright sunshine, the reminder of us that you are God, and the bright sun in the sky reminds me of your bright gloriousness, Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the many gifts that you give us, even though we're undeserving, Lord, that you love us, that you love your children. Heavenly Father, just ask that you'll be with us during this time. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have you ever had an unmet expectation? Or maybe a misunderstanding of something that's happening. Something that happens every year, pretty much, is my brother and I go to Cedar Point. I've got a brother that he doesn't drive, and so I'm his vehicle to get to Cedar Point. And he loves going to Cedar Point. And every year we go, and I say, I'm never going back. And year goes by, and February is his birthday, and then every February I tell him I'll take him back to Cedar Point because he loves going. In preparation for Cedar Point, he goes online and he looks at every new ride that's out there, any changes that are made at Cedar Point. And then he tells me what's going on at Cedar Point, what ride's gone, what ride's new, or if something's shut down for the season, and he knows all the details. And he'll get the catalog or a book that'll have the history of Cedar Point, and so he's got the history. And so when we drive over there, he has that book, and he's reading to me the different things that's happened in history and what ride came when and when they got rid of the different ride. And so he's pretty pumped, pretty excited the whole way there to go. And by then, I'm usually pretty excited about going. I'm like, yeah, this is fun. We always have fun going. And we get there, and it's about 65, 70 degrees in the morning. It feels great. Then the sun comes out and starts getting a little warmer as we're there during the day. And we start riding rides, and he's having a ball. His goal is to ride every roller coaster that's there. So if we can hit every roller coaster, that's a perfect day for him. And so we start riding rides, and we're having a lot of fun. And then we start eating that junk food and stuff we shouldn't be eating. So then my stomach starts feeling a little queasy getting off a ride. And then my back starts hurting in the afternoon because I'm getting kind of old. You know how it is, Nick. Yeah. And then we ride some more rides. Then my head's just a pounding. And I've got a headache, and now I'm getting sunburnt. I don't feel good. He's still smiling, having a ball. So finally I tell him, Joe, I can't ride the next ride. You just got to go. But they took out my favorite thing at Cedar Point. They used to have a movie. You could go into an air-conditioned building and watch a movie. So I would go in there, and they had one. It was ultralights over the Grand Canyon. So they were taking ultralights and going in the Grand Canyon and flying around, and that was wonderful. At 2 o'clock in the afternoon, sit there for half an hour in the air conditioning. No, they got rid of that one. That's gone. And so by the end of the day, I think, man, this wasn't really fun. I mean, I enjoyed being with my brother, but I didn't have fun at the park. And I tell Tammy when I get home, I say, yeah, that's prior last year. We're not going back. But because it didn't meet my expectations of fun or having a good time. But I really enjoy the time with my brother, so I suffer through the day for Joe because Joe loves going to Cedar Point. But are there times in your life that maybe something doesn't live up to the expectations? Something that maybe in your mind you're hyping up and you think, man, this is going to be great. It's going to be a great adventure or a great day. And then it's a big letdown. Maybe it's a person you met. Maybe you heard of some person maybe a singer or a speaker or somebody you think, man, they're great on stage, and man, if I could meet that person, it would be great. And then you learn more about them, and you're like, oh, that's a disappointment. That's not who I thought they were. That's not what I thought it was. Or maybe a vacation. Maybe you have this ideal vacation on mind or a place that you're going to go see, and you get there, and you're like, man, that's just a letdown. That wasn't what I thought it was going to be. But there's times in my life that are that way. But then there's times that things will greatly exceed my expectations. Things that I don't think would be that exciting or that interesting, and then I was really surprised. We're like, really, wow, that was amazing. I've always heard grandchildren would be fun, but I didn't realize how much fun they would be. Little Georgie exceeded my expectation on the amount of fun she is and joy to have around. Even at her worst moments, she's still a joy because we can laugh because she's not our kid. We can send her home. So it's different. It's different when you're stuck with them and you know they're not going home because they are home. So she's a lot of fun to have. So she exceeded our expectation. But what about God? Has God always exceeded your expectation? Has things in your life about God have been a letdown, that maybe it was maybe a misunderstanding on your part? That maybe you thought of something about God, but then it was not quite what you thought? I see a lot of times with people that are coming to Christ or learning more about God, they may find an aspect of Him that they're not happy with because it doesn't meet their understanding or their picture of what they think God should be. A thing that comes to my mind is that people will say different things. You can think of the hot button topics that are in our culture today, and because God maybe has standards or a different perspective on how we should live. If people don't want to live the way that godly standards are, then sometimes say, well, I won't follow a God that has this rule, or I won't follow God because of this certain aspect of God. Because they have a misunderstanding who God is, they don't quite understand that God's rules and the things in the Bible are for our benefit. And so people try to take shortcuts around those and think, well, this will bring me happiness if I can do this, or if so-and-so can do that. And they think, well, because God says I shouldn't do this, well, then I'm not going to follow God, or I'm not going to believe that that's God, because why would He not want me to be happy? Well, that's a total misunderstanding of who God is and what God wants for us, because God wants the best for us, and He can see the big picture, and we can't see the big picture. We have to keep in mind that there's a spiritual warfare going on. That even though people look like they're just on the surface, they're fighting for rights or fighting for things that they think are right, there's more going on than what just meets the eye. There's more to these stories than what you read in the newspaper. There's really a fighting for your soul is what's going on. Even though people are trying to take a little snippet and say, this is what I'm fighting for, we know there's a big picture involved. There's more to it that's involved. That God is there for our salvation, for our eternity, and the people are fighting for a certain right that they think is a right that they should have at this moment, but it's really not. It's really a spiritual warfare. And the Bible tells us that the god of this world, which is the devil, that he clouds the minds of people. So people that aren't followers of Christ, the devil is actively clouding their mind so they can't see the right and wrong. They can't see the truth. Have you ever followed a compass and the compass should point north? Have you ever seen a compass that doesn't point north? Have you ever seen one? If you take a magnet and put a magnet up next to that compass, which way does that compass point? Well, it'll follow that magnet. The north pole of the magnet, that compass will follow that. So you can take north, even though it should point north, and you can make it go any direction you want it to go. Where I work, we have furnaces, electric arc furnaces, and they mess with magnets or magnetism. So if you took a magnet or a north compass to my work, when the furnace is going off, it'll go haywire. And it'll affect anything that is electronic, We have big signs before you even go up near our furnaces. If you have a pacemaker, you are not allowed to go in this area because it'll wreak havoc with the pacemaker. So anybody with a pacemaker is not allowed to go around. So it'll mess with the north on a compass also. So if you don't have a true north because the devil is distorting where true north is, if you don't have that solid ground, that solid foundation because the devil's kind of confusing you or clouding your judgment, then what are you going to hang on to? How are you going to find true north? You need a fixed point of reference. You need a reference that never changes, that doesn't move. Because you know the devil's on shifting sand and he's trying to confuse you, he's trying to distort the truth. But God, he's the point of reference. He's the rock that we can stand on and find our bearing. Got several scriptures I want to read through to talk about who God is. You're going to turn with me to 1 Timothy 1:17. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. I actually have 11, and I'll just read through them because it'll take too long to go through all of them for you guys to flip to all of them. So Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised the faithful." Isaiah 30:28 says, "His breath is like an overflowing stream that reaches up to the neck to sift the nations with a sieve of destruction and to place the jaws of the people a bridle that leads astray." Revelation 22:13, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." Hebrews 6:17, "So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath." Psalm 102:25 through 27, "Of old you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are your work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will wear out like a garment, and you will change them like a robe. And they will pass away, but you are the same, for your years have no end." Matthew 24:35, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." James 1:17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." Numbers 23:19, "God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, or will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it?" Micah 3:6, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed." Hebrews 13:8, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." So God doesn't change. Jesus is forever. So that's our fixed point of reference, something that doesn't change. God does not change. His word doesn't change. Even though we have emotions and feelings and sometimes we change and our views change, God's views and God's words do not change. So if God commands it or says it, it's not changing tomorrow because you wake up in a good mood or in a bad mood. It's still the same. I think of Jonah, how Jonah had a misunderstanding. He knew that he was part of the chosen people, God's people. And so he enjoyed that relationship with God as a prophet of God. Well, God told him to talk to people that were evil people, not of his brethren. And Jonah didn't want to do it. because he had a misunderstanding of God. Kind of, God, why would you want to talk to these people? Why wouldn't you just destroy these people? And so Jonah was angry about it. He was angry that God wanted to talk to these people because his people were the people that were chosen. Well, God, which is slow to anger, slow to judge, wanted the message to go to those people to repent and change their ways. And so he had sent them along his way to go minister to those people. I also think of the disciples and the Jews of the time that had a misunderstanding who Jesus was, that they thought he was going to come and rule the earth and take over, fight, conquer the Romans, and have a kingdom on earth. And God said, that's not my big or my picture. My picture is bigger than that. I'm here to save the world, not just to save a little nation. I'm here to redeem the world and not just you few people. And so it's interesting that they thought Jesus was a king and a conqueror at that time. And he's like, no, I'm gonna work through you, the 12 disciples. I'm going to send you out to do the ministry of the world. And sometimes we also have that misunderstanding of God, that we think that he's just going to go do the work and we're going to sit back and watch. And as we read scripture, wait a minute, Jesus gave them the Holy Spirit. He filled them with the Holy Spirit to what? To go do the work. And so they didn't just sit back and watch what happened. And things that happened during the Old Testament scattered the disciples amongst the earth and out to go do the work that Jesus wanted them to do. And sometimes we have that same misunderstanding today, that I'm going to sit here in my little room, I'm going to study, and somebody's going to go do the work. God's going to go do miraculous things. Well, it's exciting to have Ruth come in next week, that she had been sent to Africa. And that didn't work out, and she had to come home, and now she's going to start in ministry somewhere else, working with a dental. And so God's sending her to different places that he wanted her to go. Even though she had an understanding, I'm going to go to Africa and be there for 2 or 3 years, it didn't work out that way for her. But what did she do? She kind of came back, regrouped, focused on what God said, and God said, I'm supposed to do ministry. Okay, God, not Africa, where? So we need to have that same attitude, and that even though our expectations might not be met, or we have a misunderstanding maybe of what God's direction is for our life, when God closes that door, we can look for the open door. Study, figure out where God wants us to be, but to understand that God sent us, the Holy Spirit, so that we can go out to touch the world and that we can go out into the earth and to minister and share the good news. It's not somebody else that's going to do it. God's going to work through you. He's going to work through me to have an impact on the earth. So even though we may have a misunderstanding, and right now we can see that the world has a misunderstanding of God, that doesn't change our message. It doesn't change the words that God said, what's right and wrong, that we can find those in the scriptures, what's right and wrong. And even though maybe we think, man, if I was God, I would do it this way. It doesn't really matter how you would do it, because we're not God. And sometimes we put that backwards and we think, well, because I feel this way, I'm going to elevate above God and I'm going to make my choices for myself. Well, God is God and we are not. And I think about it sometimes as our whole life, if you think about it this way. If you could take your whole life and say your whole life really only lasts a day, and eternity is what the rest of your life is. If God said you had one day, you could do anything you wanted, whatever choices you want to make, you can make them. Do whatever you want to do. Whatever makes you happy will make you happy. But the consequences is starting tomorrow, the rest of your life, we're going to take all the goodness from you. You won't experience all the goodness the rest of your life. So whether that's your friends, your families, anything that's good is going to be removed. Or your choice is you can accept Jesus Christ for who he is, your Lord and Savior. You can follow the guidelines that I set forth, live like that for this one day, then the rest of the life, your rest of the life, which is eternity, goodness will be with you. So that's your choice. Your choice is you can live now on earth like God doesn't exist, even though he does, For the rest of eternity, you'll be separated from goodness. Or you can follow God, follow His guidelines, and for eternity, you'll be with goodness. So that's your choice. So if everybody will stand up. I'll finish with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, our hearts are troubled by this lost world. Our hearts are troubled by those that have been deceived and that say right is wrong and wrong is right. And Heavenly Father, we just pray that there will be a revelation that would break through to them. Heavenly Father, we know that your love and goodness last forever. We know you are here before the start of time. We know you'll be here at the end of our time on earth. And Heavenly Father, we know you are the author of all goodness. Heavenly Father, that you are patient with us. You are slow to be angry with us. Heavenly Father, our hearts are burdened for those that are lost and that don't know you. Heavenly Father, we know that Jesus Christ came to the earth not to condemn it, but to love us and to offer us a way of salvation. Heavenly Father, how you open it up to all nations to follow you, we are grateful. And Heavenly Father, we just ask that the Holy Spirit would work through us. Lord, just place it a burden on our heart for those that are lost, just like you are burdened by their loss. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you will empower us this week and just bolden us with your Spirit as we go out. And Heavenly Father, we just pray your hand to be upon this congregation as we go out this week. In your name we pray. Amen.